The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
Hello, everybody. Happy to have you with us for College Football Live. I'm Wendy Nix alongside Joey Galloway and Greg McElroy. And we start this afternoon with a good old-fashioned reunion. Of sorts, anyway. Number 2 Alabama hits the road heading to Ole Miss on Saturday, and you may recall, after a brief tenure as Tennessee's head coach, Lane Kiffin spent 3 seasons as the offensive coordinator in Tuscaloosa, during which the Tide won 3 SEC championships and a national title. So does that give Kiffin any kind of advantage on Saturday? Meh.
Well, all these people that say it's an advantage because I worked with him, I don't really understand that because he's 20-0 against coaches that worked for him. So if you working for him gives you an advantage, that's you're not a very good gambler then, if that's what you say, because 20-0 is a pretty strong record.
When you were at Florida Atlantic, did you stay in touch with Coach Saban much with looking for nuggets of wisdom, or did that relationship kind of end after you left Alabama?
Yeah, that's not really his wheelhouse. Not really, sending out some texts every once in a while, just checking on you. So.
Saturday will mark the 21st time Nick Saban will go head-to-head with a former assistant. And as we mentioned, the previous 20 times, well, Saban won every single time. In fact, he's won by an average of 26 points per game and piled up 8 30-point wins. As they say, Greg McElroy, the numbers are what they are. Listen, if you were a gambling man, you certainly have to put your money on Alabama. What do you make of the reunion?
It's a little misleading, the stats, Wendy, when you look at it, because some of those former assistants inherited what were really bad programs. For instance, did anyone expect Jim McElwain leading Florida with no quarterback whatsoever? Would they play well against Alabama in an SEC championship environment? No chance. What about when he was at Colorado State? Did they have a chance of beating Alabama? No. Yes, Kirby Smart is probably the only coach that I can really think of right now that is in a spot where his team could legitimately compete. And yes, he's come close, but ultimately has fallen short both in a national championship game and an SEC championship game. So I look at it and I think this is the first time in a while in which a team might actually have a chance of moving the ball with some consistency against Alabama, because I love what they're doing offensively there in Oxford, but it's going to be a real, real difficult task to assume that that Ole Miss defense can get off the field at any point against Mac Jones and company. So I expect it to be a blowout in favor of the Tide.
Greg, I thought you were about to come really, really close to saying that there is a chance that this is a somewhat close ball game, and then you went the right direction. This is going to be a blowout. But you're right, though. It's not like these coaches have gone and gone to powerhouse programs that were already built. That's why they hired a new coach, was because they're trying to get to Alabama's level. And if you look at Nick Saban's record against not just his assistants, but everyone else, his record is pretty doggone good. And so I expect that to continue. This is an interesting game, though, because you're absolutely right. Ole Miss in the offense is actually fun to watch, fun to see what they do. They've shown that they can score about 40 points a game through 2 games. That's going to be a little tougher in this game. But I do believe that there will be some things that Lane Kiffin does in this game that other teams will go and scout and say, I might try to use that play against Alabama, because I think Ole Miss will have some success.
I fully expect them to be able to get their points. All right, Wendy, I thought you were taking it for a second. My bad. I fully expect them to get their points and move the ball. What I'm going to be really curious with is last year, when you look at how Ole Miss played against Alabama, granted, Lane Kiffin wasn't there, but John Rhys Plumlee was a problem for Alabama. He was able to move the ball with consistency with his legs, had a couple of really long runs, and he's kind of been an afterthought because Matt Corral, the quarterback now at Ole Miss, has seized control of that job. Now, will Lane Kiffin maybe lean a little bit more on the quarterback run game involving John Rhys Plumlee that worked so well against the Tide last year? Granted, it's a better Alabama defense this year than it was in 2019, but that might be something that they have up their sleeve there in Oxford to maybe at least make the game competitive for a little bit by manufacturing some big plays and points.
Well, listen, we hope so. I'm going to give you one more number. This stat is what it is, fellas. Alabama has still won 92 straight games against unranked opponents, so we'll see. Meanwhile, over in the Big 12, we had an interesting weekend. Last weekend, we saw not one but two upsets. Oklahoma fell to Iowa State. That was on the road, and it was the Sooners' first loss in Ames since 1960. The Horned Frogs now 7-2 against the Longhorns since joining the Big 12. But still, Texas coach Tom Herman is well aware of the heightened expectations for his team.
Our guys, they know what they signed up for, so did I. And when you come to a place like Texas, there's going to be very high expectations and a lot of people who think they know how to do your job and play your position and all of that. And our job is to put our nose to the grindstone and continue to improve.
So I think it'll be the most unpredictable college football year of all time. And so I think you just got to hang in there and keep swinging. I mean, who the hell knows what's going to happen? And in our league or on a national scene, I mean, it's very volatile right now. So just got to hang in there and keep getting better as a football team. And for us, that's a lot of things that under our control that we can do a lot better than we expect to do.
Look, Joey, you know what? Reeling may be a strong word here, but what do you need to see from both of these teams that certainly haven't gotten off to the start they would have hoped for?
The Big 12 as a whole has been somewhat disappointing with only having one undefeated team left, and that's Oklahoma State. I think that all of our conversations in the offseason leading into the season was who's going to challenge Oklahoma for a chance to win the Big 12, and that team that a lot of people would think would be Texas. Now, they only have the one loss, but when you looked at the game, Sam Ellinger just went 17 for 36. He did throw four touchdowns, but in times when they need a play, that's when you're not seeing it from Texas. And in this game, it usually comes down to whose defense can get a couple stops. And I don't know that you feel like you can rely on either one of these defenses right now, but for Texas to have a chance to win this football game, Sam Ellinger is going to have to play well. And their four losses last season in the Big 12, he was like five touchdowns, but also five interceptions. So we know he's a veteran. We know he's a playmaker. He'll run the ball. He'll do whatever this team needs to move the ball. To win this game, he's going to have to find ways to get the ball in the end zone and do it in crunch situations.
I know one thing. Texas plays well as an underdog. They're a slight underdog. So that should at least make Longhorn fans very happy. The other thing that should make them happy is watching Oklahoma's defense right now, guys. It's a problem. I mean, it is a problem. The problem that I have right now with what Alex Grinch is doing is the fact that he is so high risk, high reward in an effort to create and manufacture negative plays and to get the opposing offense off schedule, that he has himself allowed his own defense to become victimized by the big play that they're giving up. So many times against Iowa State, you saw guys flying around, guys moving at the snap, and as a result, they're unsound. There's a gap that's unaccounted for in the run game, and Breece Hall gashes it right up the middle. Then when they try to get their safeties up there close to stop the run, they leave their corners on islands against bigger wide receivers. And by the way, their corners don't cover real well and they don't tackle real well. So as soon as the ball is completed, those guys are breaking a tackle and they're out the gate. So I really hope for Oklahoma fans' sake that Alex Grinch and this defensive staff don't roll the dice so much. Let's play a little bit more conservatively. Let's try to keep the ball in front of us. Let's try to bend and not break, because there were way too many examples of big plays given up against Iowa State last week, which ultimately led to their second loss in as many weeks.
We have seen a whole lot of go big or go home, and this is a game that's marked on a lot of calendars from the outset, and for the first time since 2014, both of these teams coming into this matchup with a loss. Still to come on College Football Live. Much more to go. Clemson has dominated the ACC in recent years, but is the talent gap shrinking between the Tigers and the rest of the league? Plus, With limited fans in attendance, we've seen an eclectic group, to say the least, of other faces in the crowd. Cardboard cutout faces, that is, and we'll introduce you to some when we come back.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville, and in part by Steel. Are you ready for a steal? Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
And now for this week's ultimate performance presented by BMW. Happy birthday in order for Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, his 21st birthday, in fact. Lawrence threw for 329 yards and three touchdowns en route to a win against Virginia on Saturday. And now let's take a look at this week's college football rankings brought to you courtesy of Goodyear. Georgia jumped Florida to number 3 after it won against Auburn. And for the first time in the AP poll era, not 1, 2, 3, but 4 ACC teams are ranked in the top 10. But Joey, I think we can probably all agree that at this point, Clemson is the pace setter in the ACC. If that's the case, though, is there any team at least narrowing the gap a bit?
I would say Miami has improved tremendously. They've added De'Aaron King, which has been the difference maker there. He's taking care of the ball for the offense. The defense has always been athletic, always flown around, always created havoc. But as a team, Miami looks pretty good. Now, when we talk about closing the gap, Miami's ranked, I think, number 7, and it's still like a 2-touchdown favorite for Clemson in this game. So as far as closing the gap, Miami has improved a lot, but the gap is still 2 touchdowns, if not more. I would still bet Clemson if I was a betting man, even though they're minus 14 points against Miami.
Oh, we're going to have to keep an eye out for Joey's locks because I know him and Palmer are throwing money out like it's nobody's business on Thursdays and Fridays. When you look at it, Joey, I think the gap actually has gotten significantly more narrow. We saw really the ACC last year, and even analysts that were at the top of the business characterized that league top to bottom as, quote, trash. Like, I heard so many people say that. I thought that was completely unfair and completely inaccurate. There were just a lot of teams that were very young in their development. And now if you look, as teams are starting to get going, Justin Fuente's got a good team with Virginia Tech that's had to overcome a lot of adversity the last couple weeks. I like what North Carolina's doing. Played their C-minus game on the road against a pretty decent Boston College team, still got a win. And then you mentioned Miami. The way they're playing offense right now and they're able to create tempo, that's something that's really difficult to play against, especially knowing the challenges that COVID has presented as far as guys getting the proper amount of conditioning. So that's a real emphasis that a lot of teams are trying to focus on right now. And Miami can take advantage of that knowing the tempo that they use. So I actually think the league as a whole has improved by leaps and bounds in the last couple years, in large part due to the hires they've made among the coaches and I think the trajectory of a lot of their programs.
Well, we'll get to see for ourselves, guys, our Saturday night football game. We'll see Miami facing Trevor Lawrence. Again, happy birthday, his 21st birthday today. The number 1 Tigers, Clemson, has won the last 2 against the Canes, outscoring them 96-3. But again, we've talked about a much improved Miami team, 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. We'll check in now on the SEC East. Number 4, Florida, traveling to number 21, Texas A&M. Florida has scored 35 points in each of its first 2 SEC games for the first time since 2001. The offense has not been a problem. ESPN's FPI gives the Gators a 71% chance to win. Let's look at the SEC East, though, as a whole, Greg. How do you handicap the SEC East?
Man, I really, it's been for a long time a two-horse race. And really, even the last couple years, it felt like Georgia had a gap similar to that of Clemson. They were so far ahead of everybody else. But since Dan Mullen was hired at Florida, man, they have just gotten better and better and better and better. And if I had to pick one right now, even though Georgia, I thought, looked dominant in their performance against Auburn last week, I would still lean towards Florida. I trust Florida's quarterback, and yes, do they have questions on defense? Absolutely. But Todd Grantham, the defensive coordinator, over the course of his time as a coach at the college level, he has found a way to pressure the quarterback. Yeah, they're two games in, and the results haven't been great, but you got to think they're going to get better as he continues to figure out what his personnel can and can't do. I also think we'd be wrong if we didn't at least mention Tennessee as a team that plays spoiler to both. It's a three-horse race, not just a two-horse race, even though I think if I were to give a pecking order, it'd be Florida 1, Georgia 2, followed by Tennessee, who has closed that gap tremendously.
I think Florida's been fun to watch, especially what Trask has done throwing the ball to Kyle Pitts. But I'm not quite there yet, Greg. And I was honestly, the first week when Georgia struggled, scored 5 points in the first half, looked like they had no identity, looked like they didn't know what they were trying to accomplish against Arkansas. And so I sort of felt like, okay, hey, this SEC East is going to be fun because it is wide open and finally Georgia has sort of come back to the pack. And then they sort of got things going in that second half. And then last week, what they were able to do to Auburn, it was like they found themselves on the offensive side. Very good on defense. But offensively, they found their ability to just be dominant up front, run the ball when they want to, and then opens up the pass game. And I think that's the way their offense is built, and that's how they find success. Until Florida proves that they can go take it away from Georgia, I'm still saying Georgia's number one. I agree with you, though. Tennessee is a team you got to keep your eye on just because they've recruited so well there. And so they're a team that you also watch out for. But until one of those teams prove that they can take it from Georgia, I'm not going to believe it, especially the way that offensive line played against Auburn.
Florida with another chance to make a statement on the road this weekend. Meanwhile, productivity versus connectivity. The former a lot easier than the latter as we wade our way through a worldwide pandemic. But if you also believe that necessity is the mother of invention, the fans in the stands around college football prove you're right. Here's Gene Wojciechowski.
How did we go from this to this? And these.
We got a mix of the real thing with fans and masks on, and then the cardboard cutouts, which, did I tell you my daughter spent $175 on those cardboard cutouts for a game next week?
I absolutely
love it. She wouldn't stop.
Thanks to the realities of the pandemic, college football has gone to the dogs, the cats, the nature boy. It went from full houses to full cardboard, though not everybody is on board.
I have to be honest, I haven't quite gotten the hang of the cutout people in the stands, you know. Now all of a sudden we have these people frozen in time sitting there in this stadium with enthusiastic expressions on their face.
It's just kind of a spectacle, and the cutouts are almost a new age way of doing that during the pandemic because they see crazy fans, they see random guys holding green beans, and they're like, I want to know more about this.
I honestly like seeing the dogs up in the stands. It's at least something besides empty seats.
It's cool, but then again, it's kind of weird.
Picked off, Eric Stokes!
So I had to just shush the crowd board people because like they was being loud from the beginning. So I just had to shush them down.
Texas head coach Tom Herman is doing his part to keep Austin weird.
Talking to our marketing people as we speak, I think we should have a whole section in the stands of every Matthew McConaughey character ever played. I think that'd be a pretty cool thing to see.
All right, all right.
With these cutouts, it's a new way to connect, and it's just another way for people to feel happy.
It's this picture. Here, let's just look at these for right now.
Alex McDaniel played in the Ole Miss marching band, and with the help of her dad, Tommy, she even had her baby shower at the Grove. Jack McDaniel was born in October 2013.
He was thrilled about it and really kind of looked forward to brainwashing him, I think, into loving Ole Miss.
Tommy McDaniel never got that chance. He died of cancer in October 2014.
They would have gone to games together.
Totally, 100%. Like, and he probably wouldn't have invited us. It just would have been him and Jack.
As it turns out, grandfather and grandson are at the games. Alex bought two cutouts, and Ole Miss officials made sure they were seated together.
And I understand how easy it is to look at the cutouts and say they're silly, But I think in college football, you're never too far from a story of love and of family.
There is family, and then there are these two supposed Oklahoma fans who submitted cutouts to Texas. They got in, beer can curlers and all, but were assigned the worst seats in the house. So until this returns, the cutout is king.
I think it's a way for people to feel good about themselves, and it comes at no cost to anyone else. It's just good, clean, simple fun.
Who says there's not fans in the stands? The same four teams in the AP poll this week, but which one has been the most impressive so far? That's up for debate when we come back.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. And in part by Allstate. You've never been in better hands.
Time now to talk the Capital One fan vote. Which team in the AP top four has been the most impressive so far this season? Go to twitter.com/SportsCenter to check out this week's Capital One fan vote. And there they are, the top four. Joey, if you had to take one right now, which has been the most impressive?
I think Alabama easily. There was only one question mark coming in, and that's how Mac Jones was going to play. And he's completing like 75% of his balls. And then you add in John Mechie to a group that already included Waddle and Smith, Najee Harris in the backfield. So this offense is as explosive as you'll find in the entire country. They're better on defense. So by far, to me, Alabama has looked like there is no chinks in their armor so far this season.
Well, since he chose my school, I'll just go off the preseason poll and choose Ohio State. No, I'm just kidding. It really is Alabama. And it's the balance that they have offensively now. And obviously, Mac Jones has shown the ability to be able to drive the ball downfield to some of those fast receivers off play action. Really exciting stuff in the defense, y'all. The defense finally resembles the defense that we recall from Alabama back when they were dominating in the late 2010s. So very exciting stuff on Alabama, both sides of the ball.
All right, we got a lot of football to be played. Head coach from Georgia, Kirby Smart, joins us tomorrow. See you then.